I just want to talk to you a bit this morning about the hope of Easter. And, in the Bible, when the Apostle Peter is writing about the events that he witnessed that very first Easter, he writes in there, he begins to talk about those events. You know, on Good Friday, of course, we know that Jesus died on the cross. And then him being one of the first ones on the scene at the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, on Easter morning, and then encountering the risen Jesus. You know, he sums up what those 3 days offer anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus with these two words: living hope. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, living hope. I just want to read you where that comes from, which is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 through to 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again," here it is, "to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I hope some people are saying amen and hallelujah to that in their homes this morning. "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, as humans, we all have this deep need for hope. You know, in life, I think in so many situations, we're actually looking to want to write something of hope into our life, something of hope into the circumstances and situations. And, into our future, you know, we talk about our hopes and dreams, you know, in the meaning of life, people might kind of have some, well, I hope there's a kind of a meaning to life. I hope there's a purpose. I hope there's a heaven. You know, there's another big question, you know, the big questions of life, like what await on the other side of this life. You know, you hear people say, well, I hope if there is a heaven that I would go there. And it kind of gives someone something to kind of hold on to, if you like. You know, even down to much smaller things like when we go into new circumstances, I hope I'll be accepted. And so we want to write hope into our story because hope gives us something to hold on to. We cling to hope. Do you know, just this week, I received an email, and in this email, it was official statistics from some polling that had been done in our nation. And it was polling said this, and I'll read it to you. "Polling shows levels of anxiety have been consistently high in the UK since March the 23rd, when lockdown was announced. Nearly one in four described themselves as being, quote, the most worried ever. You know, in times of crisis, we look for hope. You know, I know that there'll be so many people every night watching the news, and you know, there's a lot of bad news there at the moment, but we're looking for that glimmer of hope. We're looking for something that we can hold on to, you know, something positive that gives us some hope. And, you know, so maybe the news or on social media, we're kind of looking for that thing that kind of, because hope is such a powerful thing when we grab a hold of it. I recently heard the story of a guy called Viktor Frankl. I've never heard of Viktor Frankl, but Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He was taken from his native Austria into the Nazi concentration camps in his 20s, in his early 20s. And he spent 2.5 years in this concentration camp. And there, sadly, he lost all his friends and all his family, apart from one sister. But he was studying psychology at the time when he went in, and obviously that had to stop. And so, And so he would spend his evening sitting with fellow prisoners and just talking to them. And he said this. He said he learned this. He said that those who were not only able to survive what was happening, but those who were able to emerge from it the healthiest were those with the ability to find hope. Those who were able to put their circumstances and situations into a story with some hope in it. And he said he saw those who lost hope. And he said those who lost hope became violent. Though some became bitter. Others just kind of fell into a real place of apathy. And he even says that he saw some who lost all hope, they died. You know, hope is such a powerful thing. And when we feel like our hopes crash down around us, then people feel like things are crashing down around them. In this scripture that I just read to you today, it was actually a crisis time. What was going on right here? It's a really difficult time, and the Apostle Peter's writing to a group of believers who are going through a very difficult time. There was persecution and suffering. Families have been separated, You know, jobs and livelihoods would have been lost. People were living in isolation. That sounds, you know, familiar, because they were all scattered all around and separated from one another. And it was a really difficult time that they were going through. Desperate time, a time with a lot of grief. And Peter knew what they needed was some hope. Hope that actually would make a difference. Something more than just, well, I hope it's going to be okay. And so he needed a hope for them that would help them to lift their eyes above and beyond the immediate pressure-filled, difficult circumstances they found themselves in. And so Peter doesn't tell them, as you heard me read earlier on, he doesn't say, well, put your hope in better finances. That's where you could find some hope. Or, you know, put your hope in good health, or put your hope in people, or put your hope in family, or put your hope in friends, or in a career, or in relationships. Because we all know, in all honesty, that, you know, sometimes when we put our hopes in those things or people or places, we can experience disappointment. You know, we can feel like disappointment when we've hoped something's going to happen and it hasn't happened like we hoped. And so Peter says, well, where is the ultimate source of hope? A hope that's going to make a difference to what's going on. A hope that's more than just a hope it's going to be okay kind of hope. So he points them back to the greatest day in history. He points them back to a moment in history, Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And he points them, the first thing he does when people need hope is he points them to an empty tomb and to a risen Jesus. And now here's the interesting thing. See, when Peter actually wrote this, this was, you know, some decades after that had happened. Peter had witnessed this, but this was some years later. Some people say around 20 years or so. So you might be thinking to yourself, if you're on the receiving end of this letter that he's writing to you, well, that was 20 years ago, you know? And now Daryl's talking to me about a moment in history that's way more than 20 years ago. And so you'll be thinking, I need some hope now. I need hope now, you know? Don't point me to a kind of a historical hope, or arguably, if Jesus died on a cross, that maybe even a dead hope. No, what Peter says is really interesting, because Peter points them to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he doesn't say it offers you historical hope. He says, from that moment, what happened on that Easter Sunday morning, there is living hope. Living hope. I want you to say that in your homes with me this morning. Living hope. Not historical hope, but living hope. So the Easter story is a source of living hope. And I love to kind of study the meanings of words and definitions. Our church will know that well. I love a definition. And I studied this phrase, living hope, and here's what it means. It means hope that is dynamic. It's a dynamic hope. It's hope that is alive and active. This is what comes from the Easter story all those years ago. A dynamic hope that is alive and is active. The inference there is that the Easter offers us a hope that can actually do something to you, that can make a tangible difference, because it's living and it's dynamic. It's hope that's able to transform you. It's hope that's able to transform your whole outlook on life. And it's a hope that Peter himself had experienced. You know, it transforms our understanding and way of thinking of tough times and suffering and difficult moments. I actually love the way the old King James Version puts it. It calls it a lively hope. You know, when I kind of read that, a lively hope, it made me think about being a parent. Any of you who are a parent will know what I'm going to mean when I talk about this. But you know that moment when you're in a room, and I've got three children, and they kind of bounce into the room, and there's so much kind of life and energy, and you just feel their presence. You just know they've arrived. No matter what you're doing, the kids have definitely come into the room. And you'll be thinking to yourself, or saying to somebody, you know, they're a lively bunch this morning. That energy, that difference, that impact that you feel. That's exactly what Peter's talking about with this hope. It's a hope that when it's in your life, or when it enters the room, if you like, when it's in your life, you feel the energy of it. You feel the difference it makes. You know when it's there. It's a lively hope. In fact, one of the definitions actually means to breathe. So it's hope that breathes life into you, and it's hope that breathes life into your situations. And so Peter, by pointing us back to the greatest day in history, is teaching us something really powerful and really significant. And that's simply this, that what happened that day was so powerful and so significant and has had such a phenomenal impact down the years that it continues to ripple down the years all the way to this day today, this very present day. See, I want you to know that what happened on that Easter Sunday morning then makes a difference now. And if we're looking for hope, hope that's able to change us and change our situations, and maybe you're watching this for the first time and you need some hope, I want to tell you where you can find it. And if you love Jesus, I want to remind you that you have it. You have this living hope from what happened then that makes a difference now. If we're in a tough time like we are right now, the first place, if we're looking for hope, our heart and our mind needs to go is to the empty tomb and to the risen Jesus. So Peter says, here's some people who need some hope. And he preaches the greatest message that there is, the most life-transforming, most phenomenal, hope-giving message there is. That's the Easter message, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in these few verses, as I just alluded to a moment ago, followers of Jesus are reminded of this living hope that they have, having put their faith and trust in him, that they have it. And you know, maybe you're watching today and you've never actually taken that decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to tell you, if you do, you too can have this same living hope. So I just want to tell you how we find it and where we find it. You know, what I love is that Peter begins to turn his attention to that weekend, having written a couple of verses of opening greetings. And in verse 3 comes this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens right here is like, as Peter begins to contemplate the events of that weekend, he begins to praise God. He can't stop himself. He begins to praise God as he even begins to kind of think about how powerful and significant that weekend was and the hope that comes with it. And before he can even begin to explain anything, he's like, praise God. You know, I kind of thinking to myself, you know, so often as Christians, we associate like praise and worship with music, you know, our enjoyment of music. I love to sing. I love to worship. I love music. But do you know what? Here's one man writing a letter. There's no band in the room. There's no iPod to put on. And as he begins to consider that, he just begins to kind of say, blessed be God. He begins to praise God. What does that teach me? Friends, it teaches me this, that the deepest praise and worship doesn't come from music. It comes from understanding who Jesus Christ is. It comes from understanding who he is and what he's done. And as you begin to consider that, your heart just wants to erupt in praise. So let me talk to you a little bit about who Jesus is and what he's done and why it's so amazing. When you begin to consider that, you want to praise God. It's a hope that makes all the difference to you, your life, and your situations. So Peter tells us why or how you have or can find it. And it comes from, I just want to give you three simple things today. It rests upon three things, three conditions. First thing I want to say to you this morning is this: we can only discover or experience living hope by the mercy of God. You know, this hope, it says here, comes through the resurrection of Jesus, but it says here, it begins with mercy. You know, I want to put it another way for you today. I'll put it like this: the journey to discovering or experiencing living hope starts at the cross. You know, the greatest display of the incredible loving mercy of God is Good Friday. It's the cross. It's where Jesus Christ gave his life. You know, there he died for our sins. You know, there he took the punishment upon himself that actually should have been mine. I warranted. We all in life know that when we do something wrong, we expect to face the consequences. Yet here Jesus is dying on the cross, like for me, so that I don't have to suffer those consequences. And we all do wrong. We're all in that same boat. And the incredible mercy of God is that he gives his life for me. He becomes my substitute. And the Bible says he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. I'll read that scripture to you in a moment. But he becomes my substitute and he takes my place and he pays that price and he suffers those consequences for my sins so that I don't have to. And mercy means none of us deserve that. I think that's what blows me away when I worship God. That's why I choke up and get emotional even this morning as we're praising God, because I'm the beneficiary of something I just do not deserve. The incredible mercy of God, the loving mercy of God. It's just phenomenal. And so by the mercy of God, we don't get what we deserve, but by the grace of God, we do get what we don't deserve. You know, we find freedom and forgiveness. Psalm 103, I mentioned a moment ago, in verse 10 to 12 says this: He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Wow. You know, I don't believe that there's a person watching today who doesn't want to experience the kind. I don't believe there's a person in this world who doesn't want to experience the kind of hope that we're talking about. But you know, there could be no Easter Sunday, there could be no birth of living hope, no experience of living hope without a Good Friday. And it all begins with God's incredible, loving mercy. You can't earn it, you just freely receive it. Friends, this is the moment right now where I want us to break bread. I want us to share communion together. If you love Jesus and you've placed your faith and trust in him, he's your Saviour and Lord, I want you to lay a hold of that bread right now or that juice. And we're just going to take a moment to pause. I could fill it with a song, but actually I just want to allow a quiet moment in our homes where we're just going to pray here and you can pray in your homes, and we're just going to thank Jesus. And if you're watching and, you know, maybe this doesn't, you know, doesn't all make sense. This body, this bread represents Jesus' body that was broken. The juice that we're drinking today representing his blood that was shed. And I hope by the end of today, you'll understand why this is so powerful and so significant for us today. So I'm just going to ask my family to join me. I'm going to ask you guys to at home who, you know, have got this ready to hand now to join us. And we're just going to pray. So let's share communion together. Come on in, family. We'll just kind of cram in a bit here. Claire, do you want to just pray? Jake and Ames, come on in.
God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have, Lord Jesus, because you died on the cross.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just do this now just to remember that, Lord, and thank you for everything that you gave for us.
Yes, Lord
and,
Jesus.
Yeah, and that you rose again and that we have that hope in you, Lord.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your incredible, loving mercy. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus that, Lord, is able to just deal with, wash away, forgive any and every sin. I just thank you, Lord, that there was no greater demonstration of love. God, the greatest love that has ever been seen was when you voluntarily, willingly hung on the cross, giving your life so that, Lord, we can be forgiven and we can be free. We thank you for your mercy. And God, we just stand in your grace today and worship you.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you for your blood, Lord.
Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we discover this living hope by the mercy of God. Secondly, we can only discover or experience this living hope if we are born again. It says here, we are born again to a living hope. You know, that means to find this hope, we need a new beginning. We need a fresh start, you know. And so we're born once, aren't we, into our natural family. But we need to be born again, if you like, into God's family. But it actually means to be born from above. It means to come alive in a way that, you know, naturally speaking, before we weren't alive, and we get this new beginning, this fresh start, and the hope only comes at that moment. You know, that's what it says here, that we are born again to a living hope. That means that hope isn't there before this new birth happens. You know, when a man or woman places their faith and trust in Jesus, when the mercy of God, you know, they just accept that and they welcome into their heart, they are born from above. They are born again. as they turn from their sins and place their faith and trust in him. And at that moment, that's when this hope begins to flood in and come in. It's not there until that very moment before. And so on Good Friday at the cross, that's what Jesus offers us. In his love and mercy, God offers us this most beautiful chance for all our sin and all its consequences to be wiped away, for us to have a brand new start, to place our faith and trust in Jesus and be born again to a living hope. And in that moment, you don't just turn over a new leaf. You become a new person. It's the gift of life. You know, I was never raised in church. I had no church background to fall back on. But I do know that the day I was born again, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, I became a different person. It changed the way I thought. It changed the way I loved. It changed the way I thought, you know, the things that were important or not important. It changed my whole outlook. And I believe all for the better. You know, it changed the way I saw the world. It changed the way I kind of perceived problems and worked through them. And I live differently because it's a living hope. It's a hope that is dynamic. It breathes life into you and your situations. And it comes by being born again. It comes when we say yes to Jesus. And thirdly, we only discover or experience this hope through the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if there had been no Easter Sunday, you know, no resurrection, all that happened on Good Friday would have counted for nothing. If there was no resurrection, there would literally be no hope. That's what it's saying. You know, the Apostle Paul actually says in another part in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ had been not raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin are death. And so rising from the grave, you know, overcoming death or the resurrection, it would be a sign of victory over sin and death, that it had been conquered. So if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then sin would still have power and death would still have power. But when I look and I see an empty grave, when I look and I see that Christ isn't there, I know that all my sin, both past and present and future, has been paid for. And it's been paid for anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus. I know that when I know that what he has done is enough, because if it wasn't, he would still be in the ground. He'd still be in the tomb. You know, if sin still had some hold or death still had some hold, it hadn't been conquered, he would still be there. But he's alive and he's arisen. And that means that sin and death has been overcome. An empty grave and a risen Jesus speaks of victory. And so I know, therefore, I can be conquered and I can be forgiven. Now you can tell it's live, can't you? Look, I can be forgiven and I can be born again. And from that, I get this inheritance. And this is where I'm kind of finishing up this morning. This beautiful inheritance that Peter speaks about here, you know, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, Peter interestingly uses a financial metaphor here to describe, you know, something of this hope. And it's like, for a believer, for a man who puts his faith in, it's like money in the bank. I want to say two things about that. This inheritance is both accessible and eternal. It's a double inheritance found in Easter. What do I mean by that? I mean that when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, it's accessible because Jesus comes to live within me. My inheritance is him. He is my hope. When I need wisdom or I need, you know, peace or I need, you know, joy or I need life or I need, it's through Jesus. It's the same with hope. He's my very present hope. You know, he lives in me and he lives with me. He's the resource who I draw upon. Hope isn't a thing. Hope is a person. It's having Jesus in your life. And remember, it's the hope that changes everything. Secondly, I get a future hope, and that's heaven. When we put our trust in Jesus, we inherit a present hope, but we also get a future hope. And nothing, I love these words, undefiled, imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Nothing and no one can touch that hope or take that hope from you. No circumstances or situations. I said, you know, way back at the beginning, sometimes people say things like, I hope I go to heaven. I hope there's something after this life. It's like a jump into the uncertain, you know. But yet for the man or woman who put their faith in Jesus, it's not a jump into the uncertain, but a jump, if you like, or a passing into what is certain. We have hope in this life and hope in the life that is to come. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so will one day those who follow him be. I have a hope, I hope it's their hope, not a hope like when you go into Tesco's, like I've been doing lately, trying to find soap and flour. Oh, I hope it's there. It's not there today. I'm disappointed. Oh, it is there today. I'm happy. No, it's not that kind of hope. It's a confident and positive expectation. That's what biblical hope is, a confident and positive expectation of good. And I know, therefore, that when this life is over, I will see him and be with him forever. You know, as I finish, I don't know if you've heard the story of the RMS Empress of Ireland, which sank on the 29th of May, 1914. We've all heard of the Titanic story, I'm sure, but let me tell you about the RMS Empress of Ireland. The ship's passengers, among them, was 167 members of the Canadian Salvation Army, Canadian Salvation Army Band, and only 8 of them actually survived. And yet all of them fell into the cold waters wearing life jackets. And yet what they done when they landed in the cold waters is they swam from person to person in the dark and cold, asking every man and every woman if they knew Jesus Christ. If he saw them without a life jacket and they were struggling to swim, they said, "Do you know Jesus?" If the person replied no, they took off their life jacket, this is a true story, and they gave them theirs. See, what I want to say, they drowned so that others could live and have more time to discover Christ, safe in the knowledge that even in their drowning, they would be with God. You know, why do you do something like that? Because of what Jesus had done through it for them through his death and resurrection. It meant their greatest passion was for no one to miss out on that, for no one to miss out on finding true life and true hope that comes through Jesus. You know, friends, as it were today, if you're watching and you've never made that decision, I want to kind of offer you, you know, that chance today. So as I close, I pose a question that I started at the beginning with. Where do I find hope? The kind of hope the world is craving, the kind of hope that makes a difference. Good Friday, it comes by God's loving mercy, because of God's loving mercy. It comes because you are or can be born again. It comes because of Easter Sunday, because Jesus is alive and he rose from the dead. It comes because you put your faith and trust in him. And because you do, you can have today a living hope. It comes because you have or can have an inheritance that will never fail. Hope for now and hope for the future. Hope that no one or nothing can take from you. It's no wonder that Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." My version will be, "Hallelujah. Praise God." It's the greatest message there is. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. You know, don't put your hope in your finances, in health, in people, friends, career, relationships, etc. You know, those things, of course, some of them things are really important. But the truth is that at some point, we might be disappointed. Put your hope and trust in Jesus. In him you find a hope that the Bible says does not disappoint us. If you found it this morning, I pray you've been reminded and encouraged and blessed to know that in knowing Jesus you have a living hope. And if this Easter you've never kind of discovered it or found it, then by his loving mercy he's inviting you into a new life today, into a glorious inheritance, to a living hope. And if you want it, I just want to pray a closing prayer. I just want to invite you to join with me in praying this prayer. And I'm going to ask you just to do one thing. This is just a prayer. This is just a moment. Drop a comment. Contact us. We'll tell you how to do that at the end, maybe on the stream today, or, you know, at the end we'll show you a screen. Let us know you've done this, because we want to help you. We want to journey with you, encourage you, give you resources. And listen, we're part of a church full of people who have made this decision. It's the best decision we've ever made. And I know it will be for you today. Let's pray. So if this is you, just maybe just repeat this prayer with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. And I pray that you'd forgive me. Lord, in this moment, I want to turn away from everything that I know is wrong. Lord, I want to turn away from it. I just ask you to forgive me. Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn away from that stuff. And I just thank you that you have died on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven and I can be free. And Lord, I just put my faith and trust in you today. And I just open my heart and my life to you, Jesus. And I just pray that you will come into my heart and live in my heart and be with me forevermore. Lord, would you bring that living hope in this moment? Hope now in this present and hope for the future. I thank you that, Jesus, one day I will see you face to face. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let us know if you prayed that prayer today.